been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast. That's right. And Google Play Music. Joining me as always, Josh, what's going on, man?
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Thank you to those who have served, are serving, and will serve in the future. It's just a great weekend to be an American citizen, Ravens fan extraordinaire as usual. I'm really stoked, guys. How's y'all weekend? I'm sure everybody's at the beach, Brandon, like everybody we've seen.
Yeah, you know, people are enjoying the beach again. Like Josh said, it is Memorial Day weekend. Thank you to everyone that has served. It's because of you, everybody out there, guys, girls, canines, everybody that's been a part of the military. It's because of you we have a chance to talk about the Ravens on microphones, able to spread it out on into the world. We have freedom of speech here. It's because of you guys protecting us and keeping that right alive that we are able to do this. So, Josh, let's jump right into it. OTAs happened this past week. It was our first time I've seen a couple guys in Ravens jerseys for the first time. But before we really get into returning players, new players, that stuff, the Ravens lost a week of OTAs next week due to them having rookies in full pads during the rookie camp. What's your take on this? I feel as if the Ravens should have known they weren't allowed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, this happened back in 2010, and you know, I've heard it all this week, but I mean, it doesn't condone what they did, but it was funny because they got in trouble for 5 minutes of practice with pads on, and obviously their practices are filmed, so everybody's like, well, who squeaked? No, I mean, the NFL, they got officials probably there. They have, they had the practices taped, and you would think the NFL, if they're setting these rules, someone's going to know about it, so the Ravens can't break any, and not only the Ravens, but all the other 31 teams in the league can't break it. So, yeah, with that being said, Ravens knew better. I mean, it's Camp Harbs. You know how he goes. He wants to push, and I mean, this isn't Little League football, Brandon. This is the NFL. I know it's all about safety, and the collective bargaining agreement mandated that, but these are grown adults. They want to practice in pads. I think they should be let. That's what the game requires. You know, they're not out there putting they're not out there basically with no pads on the real games. They're with the pads. I mean, and I know training camp, that's what it's about. And in OTAs, it's more walkthrough, it's more conditioning. But I feel that, I mean, again, I'm not an NFL player. I don't know what it takes. I don't know what the sacrifice on your body and the toll it takes. But I feel that they should be practicing in pads. But that's my personal opinion. But I think it sucks, you know, missing 3 days of OTAs, man. But it's not mini camp or it's not training camp. And Flacco's still out, so I don't think it's really going to hurt us in the long run. From what I've seen, the footage, we seem fine, so I don't think it's going to hurt us.
Yeah, you know, I think Harbaugh, he got fined personally. The team got fined. They lost OTAs. I mean, yep. I really feel as if they should have known better. I understand he wants to push the envelope, but there are rules by the NFL, and he got caught, and they manned up and said, you know, yeah, we broke the rules. We'll take what's coming to us. But I mean, I feel as if they definitely should have known better. But like you said, Joe Flacco was out of OTAs. Not only Joe Flacco, it was Joe Flacco, Steve Smith Sr., Terrell Suggs, Jimmy Smith, Trent Richardson, Michael Capinero, Bronson Cafusi, Kenneth Dixon, and Will Davis was in uniform, but he stayed on the sidelines. So I guess this OTAs, I mean, it's good to see guys like Eric Weddle and some of the newbies in OTAs, but with that many veterans still out, I mean, that week that they're not having OTAs might actually help us out in the long run.
I think so, man. I think it might help us out in the long run because everybody's out. The mini camps are more for the – I know right now the OTAs, apart from the mini camps, are more getting out there, getting conditioned, getting the first reps. But Pitt was out there. I seen Mike Wallace. We got our looks at Rashard Perryman, who looks sharp from what I've seen. Again, you know, Jury's still out from what, you know, happened last year. But he was catching balls. Ryan Mallett was thrown. Obviously, Joe Flacco still mending on the mend. But – And obviously, speaking of that, because you said that these guys aren't out, but you saw one of the vets out and about, did you not?
I did, yeah. It was pretty cool. Last week, I was in Target in Owings Mills, and I was going out because my windshield wiper fluid was low. So I went there to just pick up a thing of windshield wiper fluid, and I got my back to the rest of the registers. Person in front of me has, like, you know, three carts full of stuff, and I hear this big voice behind me saying, "Hey, baby, what's going on?" And then the checkout girl was like, "Oh, it's so good to see you again." And they hug. I turn around. It's Terrell Suggs. He's shopping.
So he sounds like a regular, considering the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he definitely knew the checkout lady, and he was buying like 20 pair of jeans. I don't know what he was doing.
You can't have enough jeans, man.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like back in town and like didn't pack or whatever for good, but I don't know. But dude was buying like 20 pair of jeans. He's very well known in like the Owings Mills area. Back when, you know, you used to buy DVDs and Blu-rays, he used to go to the Best Buy right down the street from my work every Tuesday and buy every single new release that was out, because you know he's such a film buff.
Yep, he is, and it shows what his production company is probably going to do after NFL. That's awesome, man. I know when you said guess who's behind me, I know it gets Aiken because of our connections with the benefit that he had. So I was kind of like, is it Aiken? But I kind of knew when you're like, guess who, you'll never guess who's behind me. I said it's probably, I was going to say maybe Flacco, but I'm like, Owings Mills, I don't think he's around the training facility, so I didn't think it would have probably been a veteran, but that's awesome, man. And it's cool to see these guys, like, yeah, they're high-profile stars. Suggs is probably one of the biggest stars, top five of all time in Ravens history, that they're out and about shopping just like us, man. You know, they're not getting everybody to do it for them. He's not afraid to be seen in public. He sounds like a regular, given the conversation, which is great. Yeah, that's awesome. And it doesn't sound like that, you know, he was probably bothered. It sounds just sound like he was shopping. No one probably came up to him and was like, "Hey, can I have an autograph or picture?" It just seemed like he was just a regular shopper, just like you and me, man.
Yeah, and it's pretty hard for Terrell Suggs to hide if he's going to like Target or something. He's such a big guy, and he's got a big mouth. Yeah, so like you hear that voice, and you're like,
"You did that big booming voice." Yeah, you know, yeah, you knew.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's Terrell Suggs.
I met him a few times. He's a big dude.
He's a real big guy. Thank God he's a Raven. But let's talk a little bit more about OTAs here. You brought up Rashad Perryman. Of course, like we aren't, you know, at the castle as much as we want to be for any of this stuff. So we're only seeing the videos that the Ravens are putting out. But Rashad Perryman, he looked good, but he also looked good last year. Is there anything that you noticed maybe different from this year than it was last year? Or do you have any higher hopes of he's going to have anything going on this year? I don't know, because they definitely wanted to, they put out this video to pinpoint, look, this guy's healed up, he's better, he's going to be a big part of this team. But again, they are just, you know, they are just videos that the Ravens have put out. They're meant to look good.
Exactly, but obviously they can't be made up. They're not movies. They're actual footage, which is great. And I've seen Pitt out there, you know, blocking with the sleigh. And I think what it comes down to is I really think that what I've seen, again, it's not showman impressiveness. It's not anything flashy. It's, hey, Rashard Perryman's out there in a helmet and a jersey, and he's running around and on the field and catching passes. You're right. You know, they might only show the five balls he caught all day. He might have dropped 20. Who knows? But, again, what the Ravens are putting out there on the productions, they speak for themselves. I mean, Pitta was out there. It's good to see him. Jury's still out again because I feel like he should retire. We have enough tight ends and stable, but who knows, because one of them might go down. It's always next man up around here. So I don't think with our roster, you can never have too many players in one position. I mean, because anything can happen at any given Sunday. So it's good to see those guys out there, and I really can't wait 2 months from now when we're getting back here and we're previewing training camp and really seeing everybody come out. And speaking of that, Flacco won't be back till training camp. He's actually the only quarterback in the NFL that won't be participating in are these what's called so-called OTAs and minicamps because he's mending, but he is ahead of schedule. So there was fear that Flacco may not be ready for week one in September 11th, but he's going to be ready. All reports are saying that. Nothing's indicating anything less. Harbaugh's even said he's produced. And we've seen Flacco out and about. He's been to some charity events around Baltimore, and he's walking around, no crutches, no boots. Or I wouldn't say the brace. I can't see underneath the pants, but he seems fine. So I've yet to see him, obviously, perform on the field. Maybe he's doing that behind the scenes, but I really can't wait. But with these guys on the field, jury's still out on Perryman. I really can't wait to see. I mean, I've seen footage of Weddle. Weddle looked great. I've seen Mike Wallace catch a few passes. I'm getting excited, man. It's end of May going into June. I'm watching football footage, minicamp. These guys, I see Mike Wallace in his Ravens jersey. Eric Weddle in his number 32. Dude, I'm getting excited, man.
Yeah, let's talk about Eric Weddle. I was impressed. Again, it's a little bit of footage, but the stories I'm reading on Twitter, on the Ravens website, he's kind of like that veteran presence that I feel as if we really lost last season with Terrell Suggs going down. He's commanding what's going on around him. That's definitely a big cog. Yeah, he might be an older guy, but it's a big cog to have that type of veteran presence on the defense this year.
Absolutely, man, and couldn't agree with you more on that. I just think that with the pieces we have and the addition of him, I think he's going to be that veteran presence back there. I think we lacked the depth back there in safety and big plays. Now, how many times at big plays we let back air of A.J. Green taking the roof off of our defense and stretching the field? And I think with Eric back there, yeah, he's not Ed Reed, but it's a veteran presence at respect. He has a track record. He's a pro bowler. You know, his numbers speak for themselves, and I think really he's going to really be that presence that we saw back there. And we couldn't add in the draft. And with the pieces we have in this draft, I think there's going to be surprises. I think that Ronnie Stanley's going to come to his own. He's really going to have I think he's going to have a good camp. I think he's coming to his own, and he's going to start on the line and pass block for us on the blind side. So I think with the pieces we have in place, Weddle brings it all together with that veteran. I mean, you have Steve Smith coming back for his final year on offense. You have Mike Wallace, who's a second redemption of his prime. I think he's still in his prime years. I think this is his last length. I think he's 29. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon. But, you know, he's been in the league for a few while. He's been to Pittsburgh. He's been to Miami. He's been on these teams where – yeah, he's had the all-pro quarterbacks and Ben Roethlisberger. He's had some mediocre pedestrian ones in Ronnie Tannehill. And, and then he was up in Minnesota. So I just think that with him, it's a revival. He's got Joe Flacco, all-pro proven quarterback, Super Bowl MVP. His record January, Joe, speaks for itself. I think with the pieces come together, Weddle and Wallace specifically, and then Watson. The three W's that we add in the offseason, Watson's going to add another veteran presence who came from Drew Brees. In going through these camps, we're going to see the veterans and the rookies, and I think we're all going to be very collective coming together as a complete team, man. I'm really excited.
Now, it is Memorial Day weekend. It would be bad on us if we didn't bring this up. But the Ravens' sixth-round wide receiver, Keenan Reynolds, he graduated from the Naval Academy. He had a great football career with the Navy. But you don't see a lot of people going from the Navy to the NFL draft, getting drafted. But the Ravens took a chance on this guy. And Keenan Reynolds actually got permission to defer his military service to go play in the NFL, kind of be an ambassador for the Navy, but still get to play for the Ravens. Wide receiver is a pretty crowded place right now for the Ravens. What kind of impact is this guy going to have on the team?
He's going to have a great impact. I've heard nothing but great things coming out of Navy. I appreciate his service, and it's great that the Naval Academy allows him to play. I know there's some special circumstances and stipulations that have to happen. We're very excited to have him here on the team. You kind of feel he's local, Naval Academy, Annapolis. What better place to play than the Baltimore Ravens organization? So I really appreciate what they allow him to do. And I've seen his talent. I've watched a few Naval football games this past season. Not a lot, obviously, but really weren't anything, but I've seen the video on this kid. This kid's amazing. I think his talent speaks for himself. It's natural. I think he's going to have a great camp, and I think he's going to make an impact right away. Some of these guys, we sign and we draft these rookies, and they don't make an impact till second or third year, depending on veterans come and go. But most of these guys, especially in the early rounds that we draft, they're making an immediate impact. And how many times do we see, I think Dennis Pitta was drafted in the fourth round, and he made an immediate impact, and if he didn't get hurt, who knows what it could have been. So I'm really excited for Reynolds. I think he's going to provide the explosiveness that we all like to see.
And like I said, wide receiver is very crowded. You do have Brashad Perryman, who should be showing up. You do have Steve Smith Sr. You have Kamar Aiken. Marlon Brown was actually released. He's not a part of the Ravens organization anymore. He might get re-signed later on down the road because he failed his physical. But I'm interested to see what this guy can do. Wide receiver has been a different place since Torrey Smith left for this team, but I feel as if like Kamar Aiken, he is becoming a very sound wide receiver. He works well with Joe Flacco. Steve Smith's got one more year left. Brashad Perryman still a question mark, so we might see this kid. He had a different role. He's transitioning from to a wide receiver and a return guy for the Ravens, so he might have a little rust in the first couple games if he gets some playing time or in training camp. So only time was really going to tell for this guy.
Absolutely, man. Time's going to tell for everybody, especially going into training camp in July. So let's get through mini camps, no major injuries. So I wanted to bring this up. I know this is old news, so speaking of injuries, again, this is old news under the bridge. Everybody knows about it, but we haven't really talked about it, and no one really knows our opinions. But how about Jalen Ramsey, man? The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Ravens were heavy on him. All the fans wanted him, and he goes down with a knee injury. It hasn't been deemed a season-ending, but it is game-threatening and could impact the season for him. He had a slight tear in his knees. He's going to get a second opinion. I haven't heard any word on it. If any of our great fans and listeners can update us, I really haven't looked into it much, but I definitely didn't hear on ESPN if it's been out, rolled out for the whole year. But I heard several of my friends who are Jacksonville Jaguars fans. Yes, there are fans out there, fans of every team, shape and size. But he said it's dire straits. And how good did the Ravens look? Everybody's like, oh, they couldn't trade up in the top three and the top four to get him, and then they get Stanley, and then lo and behold, here comes Ronnie Stanley at number six, and Ramsey goes down with the injury. So, again, nothing is guaranteed. Yeah, we draft these guys, but they can go down. They can go down in mini camps. They can go down in training camps. They can go out in the first play of the game or the first quarter of the 1 year what happened to Tom Brady 1 year for the Patriots. I mean, you don't know. So you can try to stay healthy all you want, but all it takes is one fluke play and you're done.
Absolutely.
But it's a big impact.
Yeah, and
it's a big impact.
Like you said, Stanley was our guy. If you're in Baltimore, and we are not sponsored in any way by these guys, but we really do enjoy their stuff. Jimmy Seafood is having a Welcome to Baltimore Crab Feast, and Ronnie Stanley will be there. And I don't know, I kind of want to go to this Crab Feast. What better way to welcome him into Maryland than having a Crab Feast at Jimmy's?
Well, I know Eric Weddle and Eric and Chris Davis get free crabs for life, don't they? Or was it Mike Wallace? I forget, but... And wasn't it Jimmy Seafood who was trying to put
yes.
the women out there that was it free crabs for life or something like that?
That was for Chris Davis. I think Eric Weddle went to Jimmy Seafood for the crabs and crab cakes, and then the very next day signed his contract.
It's Jimmy's, man. Jimmy's is the secret ingredient that Baltimore uses, I'm telling you, dude. Any free agents come here, I think that's what they did. Ravens, they call Jimmy's finishers. They call John, who's the owner, and they go, hey, let's just have a team meeting here. And then I think they just get the contract signed at Jimmy's over crab cakes.
That's right.
I think that's what happens, because there's something about that. Jimmy's and free agents and a contract signing. So Steve Smith was linked to it, I think, too. So I think, I'm telling you, dude, there's something with that. I don't know what it is, but it happened to Chris Davis, too.
Yeah, so if you want to get crabs with Ronnie Stanley, Friday, June 17th from 7 to 10, that will be at Jimmy's Seafood. Go to their website for more information. And again, we are not sponsored by them in any way. That's how much we love their crabs and crab cakes. We are telling you guys this
for
free.
Hey, free plug. That's what we're about, man. We're the call. We do what we want. And we love our local Baltimore spots, man. And Jimmy's famous. We have the draft party there, which obviously I have the picture at my desk. I know, Brandon, we're on video, but there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That was a fun time. That was a fun time, wasn't it?
Yeah, we went to Jimmy's. We got to meet some of the cheerleaders, some of the playmakers. We got to meet Poe at the bar. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
And we got to watch the draft pick, eat some good food. I mean, we have to go back there for like a podcast meeting, because there's nothing like getting the paper set on the bar and then dumping crabs in front of you. I love that place.
Exactly. Oh, it's such a good place.
I might have to check that place out for an away game. I haven't yet, but I'll probably.
That's a great idea. That is a really good idea. I'm right there with you.
That lower bar, I like that lower place.
Yeah.
It's a pretty intimate spot.
Yeah, I went there for the Super Bowl a couple years ago when it was the Seahawks and Patriots. It's just they know how to throw a party. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's Jimmy's. So, yeah. You know.
Last thing before I let you go, I want to bring this up. News broke this week that Ray Rice was back at the castle, and he was actually talking to the Ravens rookies about some of the pitfalls for when you become an NFL player, some of the good stuff, the bad stuff. Everybody knows what happened a couple years ago with Ray Rice and his wife. He was taken off the team. He was suspended by the NFL indefinitely. He hasn't played in the NFL since, but I got to say, This is pretty cool that the Ravens would invite him back to kind of give back to the organization, to give back to the Ravens rookies, because Ray definitely made some mistakes and he paid the price for it professionally, personally, all that stuff. But now that he's made those mistakes, I think he can kind of give back and show these kids, you know, what can go wrong and what can go right for a person, and about making those right decisions.
Absolutely, man. It was exciting news to see. Again, you know, what he's done in the past, everybody's given a second chance, man. It's about forgive and forget. What he did was wrong. He owned up to it. He's paid his price and to society, to the courts, and he's going through that. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they expecting a kid now?
I think they already had one
but
or two.
I thought she was expecting again something. I know I heard big news about their family. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But again, you know, sometimes I just brush through the internet and find stories, and like, I don't know if it's true or not, depending on what the source is. But besides the fact, him talking to the rookies and the Ravens allowing him to do so, that's what it's about, man. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, he was the integral part of the Ravens Super Bowl run the last 4 years before that happened. I mean, it was drafted in the second round. He made immediate impact. He was drafted right behind Joe Flacco in the draft. In the next, very next round. So, you know, Joe Flacco and Ray Rice made the 1-2 punch impact. And Ray Rice, you know, he was there. He was there for the 4th-and-29 play. He was there for a lot of epic plays that coming down the stretch. And to him to speak to the rookies, it not only says a lot about the Ravens and forgive and forget. And, you know, yeah, what was done is done. They had to cut ties at that time because they were put in an awkward position to do so. And I don't blame them for doing that. They made the best choice and the correct choice for the franchise. And, you know, with that being said, I don't know how the conversation went for the rookies, but I think it went well, and it was really good to see him back in an organization. And, hey, you know, who knows? I think he's going to retire a Raven, whether his playing days are done, and his name will be in the Ring of Honor, whether people like that or not. I fully, firmly believe his name deserves to be up there in the Ring of Honor because without a 4th-and-29 play and a check down, there would be no Super Bowl 47 trophy, bro. There would be no parade. There would be no Joe Flacco MVP. There would be no Ray Lewis's last drive. There would be none of that because I think you have to be honest with yourselves. That we don't win that game, the whole season takes shape.
Yeah.
So whether you like it or not, that's just my opinion.
You know, with the whole Ray Rice situation that happened, it really sucks because like all the accolades you're bringing up are 100% true. But
yep.
He's only known now as the guy who beat up his wife. I mean, that's like,
yep.
you mess
negative
up.
Impact,
yeah. You mess up once and your entire legacy is tarnished. Everything that was great that you did on the field, all the stuff you did in the community, because he did a lot of community outreach while he was with the Ravens, which was always a great thing.
What's messed up is Suggs went through kind of the same thing. Wasn't the magnitude of dragging your, you know, fiance out of the elevator, all passed out and you throw points, but Suggs linked in domestic violence, but he's back behind you in Target in the line joking and
yeah.
He's a normal citizen. So I mean,
the biggest difference there is because there was video of Ray Rice and his wife.
Exactly, and it happened in a public place. Obviously, if that happens in their home, we're not having this conversation.
If it would have happened in their home, it would have stuck to two games being suspended, and that's it.
That and a fine, and then basically a talking to, like, hey, don't do that again, and maybe go to counseling. But it showed up on the national news because it was at a casino, and it was in an elevator in a public place where there's cameras everywhere. So
yeah,
bad decisions, and you're right. You know, he still might be crucified for that. But me talking as a fan, me talking as somebody who – he really loves this team and follows the pulse very, very accurately. And it shows the Ravens. Bisciotti opened the door and Harbaugh, and then allowing them to speak to the rookies who are going to make a future impact. You have to think about this, Brandon, the word future. Mm-hmm. Ray Rice and future in the same sentence in the Raven organization. So, again, you know, whether we like it or not, whether we feel that he's worthy of a second chance, that's not up to us. We're not on the payroll. We don't write the checks. We don't budget, you know, run the budget for the Ravens. We're not in the castle, so if they want to invite him to speak to the rookies, they might have had a bad conversation that was behind closed doors and before that even happened. So the Ravens feel that he's worthy to do that. Who are we to judge? I mean, we can't. I mean, we can have our opinions about it, not right. Be happy about it, but the Ravens are going to do what they're going to do with the best for their organization, and we're still first class. So
if you remember,
it doesn't bother me.
If you remember when it all happened, when the video came out, Steve Bisciotti texted Ray Rice. Ray Rice went to the press and said this, that Steve Bisciotti said, look, we got to let you go. But down the road, you're more than welcome to come back and we'll work something out. So Bisciotti always knew like this was that video came out and that was it for him because it looked so terrible. And the way that the Rices handle it and the Ravens handle it with that press conference where his wife apologized, but he never did. all of that was just so poorly done. And that's why I think another reason besides that video coming out is why it was so bad. But Bisciotti always kind of knew the guy Ray Rice was. He knew he was going through the counseling that the courts were making him do. His wife stayed with him. Like, they didn't get divorced or break up or anything like that. So, I mean, since all that happened, Ray and his family have been doing everything the right way. So I think, like, if Ray had gotten in trouble again after all of this, the Ravens wouldn't be inviting him back. So
not at all, man.
Yeah,
not
so at all. He's back now. He's talking to the rookies. And you got to remember, this offseason, the Ravens lost Trey Walker, which was a very traumatic experience for a lot of those last year's rookies. So to have Ray Rice come back and warn these guys of, like, look, you can go back to where you were coming from, and you can get into your old ways. You have to be responsible. You have to do this. You have to do that. I think having him come in this year is even more important due to the loss that the Ravens had this past offseason, to make sure that these guys can transition from college to the NFL, to being out on their own, to using their money correctly, to respecting everyone correctly, to knowing that this is a privilege, not a right, and you know, that whole spiel. So I think bringing Ray Rice back at this point is a really good idea for the Ravens. And what he did in the past is wrong, but it looks like he's doing everything right now and he's learned from it.
I 100% agree with that, man. And Ray Lewis was in town, I think, a few weeks ago. Speaking of that, he was talking to some players about, you know, correctly budgeting their finances and how to handle that, the pressure of being new to the league and having the big paychecks and the glory and the fame. So everybody has the mentorship in place, whether it's the Ravens, whether it's the, you know, the other teams in the NFL. That may be every league, every team has its set of mentors in shaping these guys ready to go. I mean, they're transitioning from college to, you know, being young men to being full grown men and to really provide for the families and don't go out and blow their paychecks on. Now, they actually, I read a story about that, man. They had they were interviewing some athletes on, like, how you spent your first winnings. Some athlete, and this was, like, not only NFL, but this was basketball, you know, Major League Baseball, and as well as the NBA. It was like some people were like, oh, I bought a Mercedes in cash. I paid off my mom's house. I paid off the rest of my debt. I bought a house. So, you know, a lot of these guys were sensible. Not a lot of people were like, oh, I went and spent $50,000 on a dinner or a night out. It was kind of like they put their money into something good. So right. I think with the right mentorship, the NFL doesn't want to be known for these so-called thugs, as we keep hearing, and people who have domestic violence and people who drink and drive and people who smoke marijuana. They want, you know, men of integrity. And I think that's where the league, you know, has to draw the line. It's got to stop somewhere, because the NFL doesn't want to become that league and that black eye on their face, per se. To have a bunch of players that, oh, that's all they could do is they play on Sunday and then they go out and they're beating up women and they're drinking and driving and they're smoking dope and they're bad people. And then kids look up to that. You have their pictures on their wall. You have your jerseys on their backs. And you look up to these guys and we support them. So what then comes down to is, number one, create a support system and they'll be a good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Josh, have we covered everything?
Brandon, we covered this one for this holiday weekend to the max, my friend. We covered it to the max.
All right. If you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, we are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, very cool. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Facebook.com/BrandoCash, as well as Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Whenever a new show comes out, since it is the off season, they are a little sporadic, so you will be the first to know, as long as you like our Facebook pages. Let us know what you think, and let us talk to us during this off season. We're all a little bit bored since we have no football to watch, so make sure you're social with us. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Periscope, anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, it is the off season, I'm still listening to The Call, and you should too. This would be a great show to listen to on your way to the Ravens Beach Bash in Ocean City this upcoming weekend. Again, we are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Write us an iTunes review. Let us know what you think about the show. We love reading your guys' comments. It's a lot of fun to check out people that are digging our stuff and some that aren't as well. That's all good. So this is it for the show this week. It's Memorial Day weekend, guys. Please be safe out there on the road. Don't text and drive. Be smart as you're traveling around. I know on the East Coast we're probably getting hit with a tropical storm, tropical depression. North Carolina, South Carolina is heading up the coast. So if you are around that area, be safe out there. I hope you guys get home safe. But Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thanks so much, man. It's been a great show. Really good. Can't wait to get back to it. I've been itching to talk Ravens, and I've been talking Ravens all week, actually. It's been nonstop. And guys, you know, hope whatever you guys do, grilling, beaching, just relaxing. And if you end up being working, we really appreciate your hard work on the weekends. We know, hey, someone's got to be cooking the burgers and running the show around here while we're relaxing. So we really appreciate all who are doing so. It's been great. Guys, we're going to get through minicamp. I know we always wish the summer here because we want to go to ballpark and watch some baseball. We want to go to beach, go outside. But you know what? 2 months from now, we're going to be talking training camp and getting ready for preseason football. It's going to be here for you know it. It's getting closer. The end of May is here, ushering in June. Here we go, guys. We're right on the brink of the summer starting to heat up, and Ravens are going to be doing that as well as we go through the summer months. And all to all, safe and happy Memorial Day. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this offseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.